Indira Gandhi was the daughter of India's first prime minister and the mother of another one. In between, she was prime minister herself, leading India for a total of 15 years, longer than anyone else. Gandhi was only 12 when her father, Jawaharlal Nehru, drafted India's Declaration of Independence and gave it to his daughter to read. She was the first person to see it. She was 30 in 1947 when independence from Great Britain brought the partition of India and Pakistan. The tumult that ensued between Muslims and Hindus still roils India today. And it was religious tensions and Gandhi's own dealings with hardline Sikhs in the early 1980s that led directly to her assassination in 1984. Biographer Catherine Frank has profiled Gandhi in a new book called Indira, The Life of Indira Nehru Gandhi. She writes that though she had an extraordinarily high-profile family, she also had a lonely childhood.
It's an almost Dickensian childhood, except the adults are not being taken away to debtors' prison. They're being taken away to British prisons because they're political. She was often left alone, and even when her parents were home, she was often left alone because they were out campaigning or picketing or traveling the country. So it was a curiously crowded childhood with political figures swirling about the house, and then the house would empty.
If there's one thing I take away from this 550-page biography, it is that as intellectually able as Indira Gandhi may have been, her lack of confidence ran to the bone in a certain way, even when she seemed very certain of something. And it seems to have crippled her throughout her political career.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Indira Gandhi was not inherently an extraordinary woman. She was an intelligent woman. She was a gifted woman. But she wasn't of the same caliber, shall I say, as her father. And she was keenly aware of this. And she remained, despite the fact that she won landslide elections, she never had the kind of, Nehru had a kind of unself-consciousness because he wasn't worried. Indira always did worry about it, and she consistently felt that she didn't come up to the mark.
One also gets at her psyche in the unfortunate marriage that she made, which grew out of the one defined act of her late adolescence. Mm. Tell us about Feroz Gandhi. Many people think that Indira Gandhi is the granddaughter somehow of Mahatma Gandhi, and of course, she's not at all.
No, she's not at all. Feroz Gandhi was a very good-looking, magnetic, passionate, even somewhat crude man. But there was a real magnetism between them and a real passion between them. And interestingly, in one of Indira's letters to Nehru, when she's arguing about the issue of marrying Feroz, she said that Feroz loved her for herself, not because of her family and her name.
But he betrayed her almost from the start over and over and over again.
Yes, that's true. I mean, Indira essentially had to choose between her father and her husband, and Nehru needed her. He was a widower when he was prime minister. And Feroz dealt with what he saw as this abandonment by taking up with other women. He probably would have taken up with other women anyway. He was that kind of guy. But the marriage didn't, deconstruct. There were interludes of reconciliation and of happiness and peace together, including, especially after Feroz had his first heart attack.
Indira Gandhi becomes prime minister almost in what you call a sort of negative series of decisions. People think she's going to be pliant. She's backed by politicians in the Congress Party who think they will be able to manipulate her in 1966. And in fact, she turns out to be the most authoritarian leader that one could conceive of. How did that transformation come about?
She took everybody by surprise, including herself, I think. After she was put into power and she saw that the Congress Party bosses wanted to run her sort of like a puppet, her pride, rebelled against this. She split the party in 67, got rid of the old kind of cronies of Nehru's generation, encouraged the left wing, what was called the Ginger Group. Then she went to war with Pakistan and helped bring to birth Bangladesh. And, you know, the more she did and the more successful she was, this made her enormously popular, and she could feel this sort of groundswell of love, really, amongst the Indian people. And she had an uncanny ability to connect with the Indian people.
What was behind her rationale that in the end would brook almost no dissent if the chief minister of an Indian state displeased her in really almost any way, didn't go along with the program? Here her father, Nehru, had been such a Democrat, and she would resort over and over again to what's called president's rule.
Well, there was a lot of trouble in India in the 70s, as the 70s progressed, and even more in the 80s, as there is today, communal trouble between Hindus and Muslims, and Sikhs and Hindus, and Sikhs and Muslims. And she very much feared that the country would, deconstruct, and there would be a repeat of what happened at partition. Now, Nehru trusted the democratic structure to accommodate all sorts of peoples and divisions and conflicts. Indira didn't. She came to believe that only she could hold the country together.
Wasn't there a slogan, Indira is India and India is Indira?
Yeah. A very sycophantic Congress Party official came up with that as a campaign slogan. I think that was in 71. She was so fortunate in her name, wasn't she? She married somebody named Gandhi, which would remind everybody of Mohandas Gandhi. And then her first name is Indira, which is so close to India. So yes, Indira is India, India is Indira.
A couple of people have looked at this biography as a kind of Greek tragedy. First of all, she's fated to enter the political arena in a global way, and then she has blind spots about people that she loves, particularly her son, Sanjay Gandhi, who nearly brought her down.
It is like a Greek tragedy. Sanjay Gandhi was a thug. Sanjay Gandhi was on the make, and he got a license to produce an indigenous car, kind of like India's Volkswagen, called the Maruti, named after the Hindu monkey god. And he made tons and tons of money. And it was on Sanjay's urgings, really, that Indira Gandhi imposed the notorious emergency of 1975 to 1977. And Sanjay was behind all sorts of other abuses. And a lot of people were jailed and people were killed even. Now, there's the tragic flaw in that she could stand up to just about anybody except this creep of a son. There's also what I find particularly tragic about her life is that almost everyone she loved died. Her mother died when she was only 17, then her husband died when she was 42, and then her younger son died at the age of 34. The only person who survived Indira was her older son, Rajiv Gandhi, who, of course, was himself assassinated in 1991. So that's a very important tragic dimension. When so much death happens in someone's life, it shapes your consciousness, obviously.
What do you think is the legacy of Indira Gandhi at the end? She tells an interviewer a very bitter statement that she feels that she will be remembered for nothing. And you think it's accurate?
I do think it's accurate. I think Nehru had a vision of India, a coherent vision which he pursued throughout his time in power. And you're never really successful in politics. It's all compromise, isn't it? But Indira Gandhi was like a weather vane. You know, she'd spin one way and then spin the other way. She'd be radical one moment and she'd be a communalist the next moment. She claimed she was a secularist and yet she would back fundamentalist groups, all in the name of remaining in power because she felt only she could keep India together. I mean, on the one hand, it's very easy to be gloomy about India. And yet, you know, India has not had a military coup. It's not had a military government. It continues to have elections. There's free speech. There's free press. It's the world's largest democracy, and somehow in its own chaotic way, it keeps ticking over. And I think Indira Gandhi has to get some of the credit for that.
Well, Catherine Frank, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Catherine Frank is the author of Indira, the life of Indira Nehru Gandhi.